Good morning again, guys. Here's something I know is true of everybody in this room. It's a big statement, okay? In some form or fashion, pun intended, all of us thought about what we were going to wear today. Or maybe you didn't, like minimally didn't think about it. Some of you didn't really think about it that much. Like you, it was 43 degrees this morning and you're wearing shorts. Like, you didn't think about it. Bad idea. Who's wearing shorts in here? Okay, either y'all are just, you're just wanting to hurt yourselves, or you just didn't wake up thinking about what am I going to wear. Some of you guys thought ahead. Who's wearing a jacket, a sweatshirt? Some people in here are going, hey, I'm going to be cold today. Lawson's going, I'm still going to wear shorts because I'm stubborn, but I'm still going to be warm in the midst of it. So at some level, all of us thought through what we're going to wear today. So some of you in this room, you went before your closet over here. And you got in the closet in the morning, and you're kind of looking through, okay, what do I have? What's clean? What could I wear? I don't know. Some of you took way too long. Ladies. cough, cough. Some of you stood in the closet, you grabbed a shirt, like, ooh, what do I think this is like? I don't know. Like, you twist, you go further away. Like, see if it matches your shoes, you're checking it out, and then you take the whole thing off, you try something else, then you're in the mirror, you're doing all this stuff. So some of you, that's what you did this morning. My wife tells me that's what I do. So it's not just ladies. Apparently there are some guys that take too long too. So some of you, you're going, okay, I can't pick, what do I do? Others of you guys, you woke up, you got the sleepies out of, the crusties out of your eyes, and you roll out and you're like, dirt, I'm Pop Tarts. I don't know why you sound like Oscar the Grouch, but you just went in your closet or by the side of your bed and you're just like, I don't care. What is this? Okay. And you just put on whatever you could find. Even this wrinkly shirt that hasn't been washed since the retreat 2 years ago. You've worn it 4 times this week. And you just said, I don't care. I need something. I'm going to put it on. I don't care if I'm wearing blue and... Well, blue and orange works. Like cheetah print and puke green. You're just going, this is what I'm wearing. This is me. I'm going for it. You didn't care at all. Others of you guys, maybe not this morning, but go to a private school and you have to wear a uniform. Anybody have to wear a uniform? Okay, so you wake up in the morning to go to school, and you might go to your closet like I did when I was younger, probably frustrated, going, man, I got these clothes that I want to wear to school, but I'm stuck with this little uniform. And so I can wear some khakis, or maybe I'll wear some blue pants. Whoa! Maybe I'll wear a blue polo or a white polo. Maybe I'll wear shorts and be crazy. And so, like, you don't have many options. And some of you, that frustrates you. You're going, man, I want to show people what I can look like, how I can dress. I want to wear these cool things I got for Christmas. But then others, you're going, hey, I don't mind. I know what I need to wear every day. I know what I've got to put on. It's easy. I just pick it out and I'm out. When I was in high school, I grew up going to private school in elementary school and then later in high school. I had to wear some khakis, some nice khakis. These weren't my khakis. These are Abercrombie and Fitch with a drawstring. I didn't wear these. But I wore khakis, a crisp button-down shirt, long sleeve. And a tie. Had to wear this. This is my tie. This is my exact tie that I had to wear in high school. Every day. Had to wear pants. Could never wear shorts. Had to wear the long sleeve. It had a crest on it. I went to the Cambridge School of Dallas. And so it wasn't just any shirt, but it said, it had the Cambridge logo. I had to wear this every single day. Some days I loved it because I just knew what I'd wear. Other days I was just like, this is ridiculous. We're not in a movie, like we're in real life. Let me wear jeans, please. This is dumb. But regardless of whatever camp that you're in, every day we spend time picking out what we're gonna wear, looking in the mirror and going, okay, does my hair look good? Does this fit right? Is this way too big, way too small? I've grown. We take time to care what we look like. But how many of us take the time to think about not only how we present ourselves outwardly and what we look, but to prepare how we're going to act for the day, to prepare what our thoughts are going to be for the day, to prepare maybe who we are going to be, who we want to become like, Not just what we will wear and how people will see us, but how we will think to see the world the rest of the day. You see, last week we started a series on Philippians, and we focused on this verse that said, just like the tagline says, to live is Christ, it says in Philippians 1:21. To live is Christ, to die is gain. And Paul says, this is why I'm living my life. I'm going to live my life like Jesus. He later then goes on to say, to live my life in a way that is worthy, in a manner worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And last week, we dove into it a little bit, but I had some students come up afterwards, and maybe you thought the same thing. You're like, okay, yeah, what if I want to? Let's say that I do buy what Paul's saying. I do want to go head in to live like Christ. To live is Christ, and believe that. To die is gain. But how? That sounds so big, so lofty. How do I do that? Well, Paul tells us in Philippians 2. There's a whole other chapter, and there's even more in the book. And he goes even deeper into this idea, to live is Christ. So if you got your Bibles or your phones, you're taking notes, open that up. We're going to be in Philippians 2, 1 through 11. And I'm going to give you the answer right now so that you understand the whole morning. To live is Christ is to walk in humility. Oh, man, really? You're gonna give me that? Like, I'm looking for something to do. I'm looking for something that I can apply to my life. I'm looking for something I can put into practice this week because I want to grow. Or maybe sometime later because I don't want to now. I'm on spring break. But later, I'll put into practice. Give me something tangible. Like, hey, you got to read 6 chapters a day. That's crazy, but I'll do it. And that's exactly what we're going to talk about today. That's not the point. The point is to live Jesus. To live as Christ, to die as gain, to live as Christ. How do we do it? Humility. So here's what I want you to think through. Humility looks good on anyone. No matter who you are, no matter the clothes in your closet, to further that analogy, your mental closet, the way that you present yourself, not just in the threads you wear, but the thoughts that you carry. No matter your size, shape, age, humility looks good on anyone. And then what we'll see as we go through, humility does good for everyone. But there's a flow, a natural flow of progression there that starts with first clothing yourself in humility. Humility looks good on anyone. Humility does good for everyone. So we're going to look at Philippians 2. We're going to look at a few things that this text just breaks down naturally, how we are to operate in a way where we can say to live is Christ. And it's different than you might think. It's definitely different than what I thought. The first one is this. First point is you have to have the mind of Christ. You got to have the mind of Christ. To walk in humility, you got to have the mind of Christ. It says this, chapter 2, starting in verse 1. So, if there's any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. So the thing you guys need to know here is this passage, this little chunk right here is saying that you need to have the mind of Christ. It is a mindset, not an action. It is a mindset, not a motion that you must take. Well, hold on, Harrison, that's not true. I look at these verses. You got verse 3, a verse you've probably read before, heard before. Don't do anything selfishly, but in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. Look not only to my own interests, but to the interests of others. That's application. That's stuff that I can put into practice right now. This isn't about having the mind of Christ. I got to do that, and then I'm like Jesus. That's because we want to pick those things out. But verses 1 and 2 are so important. Incredibly important, because that is what leads us there. If you start back in verse 1, that word so that we just brush over, it looks like a transition word. It is a transition word to make you to stop. And Paul's saying, because of everything I've already said. Remember, we're in chapter 2. So if you've got your Bible open, you see there's an entire chapter one before it. So everything that I've already told you, everything we talked about last week, everything you talked about in small group, because of that, because you want to live as Christ and die as gain, because you're going to walk in a way worthy of the gospel of Christ, because you may even, will even, suffer for Jesus. So, if that's true, and he kind of recaps, if you've been encouraged by Christ, if you've been comforted from his love, if you've participated in the spirit of Jesus, if you've had any affection or sympathy, if that's true, then complete my joy by being of the same mind of Jesus, having the same love of Jesus, being fully passionate and in unity and of one mind like Jesus. And because of that, then you do. Guys, that's really important because it is the mindset that focuses and leads us into action. But we focus so much on the application and what we must do, and we miss this crucial part. It's important what we put in our minds. You probably hear your parents say this, oh, don't watch those shows, don't watch these movies, don't listen to that music. It's not because we're just going, hey, you're Christians, you can only do Christian things and listen to Christian music. That's not it. But it is very important what we flood into our mind. To give you an example from my life, last Sunday, we were closing up Wake, and we were listening to some music out there. I'm a fan of OK Go and their fun videos, and so I was showing somebody one of their videos, and Ruby goes, hey, check out this cool video. And anyways, the details don't matter. There was a kid that was running around, the people who made the cover video, there was a kid eating snacks in the back of their music video. It was awesome. And so he's just chilling, and they're singing the song, Ed Sheeran, Shape of You. So catchy. I heard it one time last week. And is listening to that song bad? Not inherently in and of itself. The song is not a great song, lyrically. I heard it one time, and I could not get it out of my mind all week. Why that's important is because it's a song that is not honoring to my Savior. It's a song that's not honoring to my wife. It's a song that's not honoring to any woman that I come in contact with. And I allowed that to flood into my mind. And my mindset then was focusing on this catchy song, these catchy tunes, and that is what then took my attention. See, it's important what goes into your mind because your mindset then affects your thoughts, which then affects your actions and dictates what you do, not the other way around. But we focus too quickly on what we must do without first focusing on who we must be or who we must become like. I'm gonna say that one more time. I don't have it on the screen, I should. We focus too quickly on what we must do without focusing on what we must be and who we must become like. Because there's this struggle in the Christian life of doing and being. There's this struggle that we feel that as we become believers, as we become saved by grace, redeemed because of what Jesus did on the cross, we want to grow in our faith, and we should. Scripture calls us to grow from being infants in the faith, taking spiritual milk to be able to feed on the delicacies of the truth that's there. We do need to grow. But to do that, we try to do that ourselves. We try to do certain things to then become the person. But what Scripture calls us to is to be the person that will then allow us to do those things. It seems minor, but it is hugely important. I'll give you another example. When we were talking about how to teach Philippians, we can't teach the whole thing. We're only going for 4 weeks, so we got to take little sections. I wanted to go straight to 12 through 18. I wanted to skip this whole passage. Start in verse 12. There's some awesome stuff in there that as you read, you'll see it. It says, do all things without grumbling or questioning. Well, that's an easy one to teach you guys. There's application. Don't grumble. Don't question. We could dive all into that. Shine as lights in the world. I mean, there's so much in there. Be poured out as a drink offering to just say, hey, go do this stuff. Have at it. It's so applicable. And I wanted to go, yeah, that's easy to teach. Yeah, that's easy to apply. And I missed the whole reason that we're able to do it. I say that because it's a problem that I have when I read Scripture, so I assume that's a problem that many of you guys have too. That we jump to the doing, we jump to the, okay, yeah, yeah, you just tell me. Whatever it is to do, I'll do it. I might fall short of it, but I'm going to try all that I've got. And we miss the whole point of Christianity. The point of Christianity is to be with Jesus, to worship Jesus, to love Jesus, to give ourselves to him. Another way of saying this tension between doing and being is striving versus abiding, or trying versus abiding. And if you've been in the Christian faith long enough, you feel like, man, I'm trying so hard, but I just can't get past this struggle, this temptation. I'm trying so hard, but I still don't feel disciplined in God's word. I'm trying so hard, but, because it's not about trying. It is about being with Jesus. It is about being with the one who came to give himself for us. And when we do that, when we take the mindset of Christ, when we choose to early in the day clothe ourselves with that, that then affects the way that we live our life, not the other way around. There's another scripture that's really important, John 14:15. It says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And most Christians, they see that, especially Christians that have been along a long time, or Christians that have grown up in church, or Christians that are in a Christian school, Christians that do Christianity instead of be a Christ follower. They see that and they go, they kind of read it backwards and say, if you keep my commandments, you'll love me. That's the way we think that we have to read it. If you keep my commandments, then you'll be worthy of me. That's not what it says. Other times we read it and we kind of assume that it says, hey, if you want to love me, then you better keep my commandments. If you love me, you better do this. It's not what it says either. What the sentence says, what the scripture says clearly here and everywhere else, if you love me, then you will keep my commandments. It's not the other way around. We don't do these things to then have a mindset or a relationship with Jesus. We have the relationship and the mindset of Jesus Christ, which then allows us to naturally follow in obedience because we love him. And I heard a guy recently in the last couple weeks, he said, typically, the longer we're Christians, the less in love we are with Jesus. And the more we try to just be obedient. And guys, if you get this backwards, and I do a lot, and you will, I promise. But if you live your life getting this backwards, man, just living in obedience is not going to teach you to love, is not going to fill you with love. It's going to probably make you feel burnout. It's going to make you legalistic. It's going to make you really, really tired. And it's going to make you just feel apathetic towards the faith. But if you take everything you've got and just seek to love Jesus more and give him more of yourself and focus your attention on him and just see him as the ultimate, you will be amazed at what God does through your life. Because there's an amazing truth in here that I read through really quickly, past all those things. In verse 5, again, it seems like a throwaway. But in verse 5, it says, have this mind among yourselves. And it doesn't say, so you better try harder. You better figure it out. You better go out and seek it because it's out there and you got to find it. Not you got to conjure this up and you got to make sure that you are doing this more and more and more. It says, Paul says, have this mind that we're talking about, this mind of humility and of Christ. Have it among yourselves, which is yours, which you've got because of Jesus. This mind that we're asking you to get, it's not that you've got to become this great Christian person. You got it because you got Jesus. You got the Spirit of God that dwells in you. You just have to choose to walk in it. Guys, it's Galatians 5. If you came on the retreat with us, we studied the fruit of the Spirit. And the beginning of that passage calls us to walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of your flesh. It is a choice. We have been saved by grace, and we get to choose whether we're going to walk in the Spirit or walk in our way, my way. It says, you've got it. Put it on. So in this clothing analogy, in this closet analogy, make humility in Jesus that t-shirt that you absolutely love and never want to get rid of. That comfy shirt that you can't just wait to put on. That snuggly sweatshirt that whenever you're just hanging at the house, whenever you're going somewhere, you want to put it on because you love it. Let that be the mindset of Christ, the humility of Jesus, and the rest will follow. So that first one's important. And it is one that I have missed for a long time. And it is one that typically a lot of us miss. But we're called to have the mindset, have the mind of Christ. Once we do that, Paul then tells us, number two, to look to the model of Christ. And he says in verse 6, so because I'm calling you to have this mind, which is yours in Christ Jesus, I'm talking about Jesus here, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. This is the God of the universe. The God that we worship, the God that we come here to think about, to focus our attention on, the God that if we're probably honest, we just go, yeah, he's God, he's my friend. Yeah, it's Jesus, okay. There's so many analogies here that we could go into and none of them do justice, but think of the richest person in the world. Think of the most famous person in the world, the person that has everything they could ever ask for or want. All the people love them. They've got fame. They've got fortune. They've got everything that everybody is striving for. And whoever that person is in your mind, they just say, you know what? I'm going to get rid of all of that. Forget it. I don't want any of it. It's not like I'm going to keep a bank account on the side. I'm going to get rid of it, and I'm going to come move next to you. I'm going to come live next door to you in an RV, in a trailer. That was built in 1960, that's been ripped up by a tornado, that smells terrible, it's infested by rats and ferrets. Because I love you. Because I don't need any of that. Because I want to come and be with you. But it doesn't even do it justice. Because if you think about it, this is Jesus who could have come not clothed in humility, but clothed in royalty, clothed in majesty, glowing. He could be like bright green and people would be like, oh my goodness. He could have come in a completely whited out Escalade. Remember, 2,000 years ago, they're walking everywhere. He could have come in the first automobile, underglowed with like sweet LEDs and spinners and been like, hey guys, I'm God. And they would have been like, yeah, you are. Holy smokes. But he didn't do that. He came in the womb of a woman, a little teenage girl who rode on a donkey, who gave birth to him in a feeding trough, a cold night. Nobody knew but the shepherds that nobody cared about. And he hung out here, poor, not a lot of fame. And then he further humbled himself because he then died on a cross, the most torturous, worst way to be executed or die at the time, and really in most of all of the history of humanity. Not because he was caught, not because he wasn't good enough, not because he wasn't strong enough, not because he couldn't make the cut and show his majesty, but because he chose to. Because he loves you. And because he was clothed in humility. And so, it's as Paul is writing that he says, hey, when I say to have the mind of Christ, that's the model. Not just pieces of it, not just some of it, not just the things that sound good or make you look cool, or make you sound like a nice little Christian boy or girl. But to live as Christ is to follow that model. And Jesus came to love others, to serve others, to sacrificially give of himself, to point people to the Father, That's the model. That's the mindset. That's the goal of Christianity. Not the doing, but the being that. And when we have that mindset, because we're looking to the model of Jesus, guys, we just sang about this. The song, the second song that we sang was The Scandal of Grace, that people in here shouted at the top of their lungs, "Oh, to be like you, to give all I have just to know you." That's what you're singing. That's a high bar. But it's all what's been given to you. And because of that model, he then calls us to worship the majesty of Christ. Picks up in verse 9. Therefore, another word, transitional word that's not just throwaway, but because of everything that's been said, 1 through 8, because of all of that, because of this mindset which leads to action, which is the model of Jesus, because of that, God has highly exalted him, bestowed on him the name that's above every name, so that in the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Jesus is the object of worship for everyone. You hear that? Not just Christians, not just people who say they believe now. We get to worship him, but someday, and the scripture speaks of it all over the place, someday he will return, and everybody in heaven, everybody on earth, everybody under the earth who's dead will go, "That's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That is God. That is Jesus." And we get to worship him. This man who has pointed people his whole life and all throughout history, all throughout the Bible, to the glory of the Father in heaven. The majesty of who God is because of the majesty of Christ. This is the same Jesus where scripture says that it was for him and by him that all things were made. He is God. And he demands our worship. We get to worship him. The other song we sang this morning, the last song, part in there it said, "Oh, what a Savior. Isn't he wonderful? Sing hallelujah. Christ is risen. Bow down before him, for he is Lord of all." Do you just sing it on Sundays, or is that your life? Not just when he returns, but when people interact with you, will they go, "Man, that's Jesus." Not because you're worthy of praise, but because you live your life in a manner worthy of the gospel that points to Jesus, who points to the Father so that others may worship him. That's the point. Guys, that's the Trinity. For those who believe, the Spirit of God dwells in you. The Spirit of Jesus Christ is in you, who then goes on behalf of you to Jesus, who sits at the right hand of the Father, who glorifies God and points to him so that the Father is glorified. That is the triune one God. And it is the mindset of Jesus that we are called to carry, so that as you read the rest of the book, you see 12 through 18 and these other passages that are so familiar in Philippians. It is because of the mind of Christ that you choose to walk in that any of that is possible. Otherwise, you're missing it. And so, guys, be Jesus. Be Jesus. Wait, what? Excuse me? I can't be. I'm not perfect. I'm not good enough. No, but you have the Spirit of God in you, and so you are called to live as Christ, to live in a way where others are seeing the reflection of God. If we have the mindset of Christ, we will act like Christ, and that affects our actions. And so, guys, to sum it all up, when you have the mind of Christ, you reflect the model of Christ, which then leads others to worship Christ, to worship the majesty of Christ. Not because of what you do, but because of first, how you choose to clothe yourselves. Because guys, we're a reflection of Jesus. We are men and women who, because of the Spirit of God is in us, we are reflecting the goodness and grace and love of God in the person of Jesus Christ in the way that we act. Not because we have to try to do those things, but because we're with him. Because we be with him. We abide with him. That's the natural outcome. That's what flows out. That's what people see. And so if we reflect God, that makes you a mirror. So guys, my hope is that each day, when you wake up, not to just say, okay, what am I going to look like? But you will look into the mirror of God's grace. Not just, okay, hey, do I look good enough? Do you think I'm Christian enough? Do you think I have what it takes to go forth today? But instead of looking at yourself, you will look at the mirror of God's word that sits here. And all through this book, Old and New Testament, you see Jesus. You see the visible image of the invisible God, and hopefully you look at the mirror of the truth of God and go, man, is that truth in me? Is that the God I worship? Is that the way that I'm going to choose to clothe myself in the way that Christ did so that others may feel the love of Jesus in and through me? And that's how you wake up each day, choosing to live as Christ, to prepare your mind for how God's going to use you all day. Another verse that speaks to this same thing is 1 Peter 5, 5 through 7. All that passage is good, but you see in the red, it says, clothe yourselves, all of you. This is Peter, not Paul. It's a whole different book. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility. Put it on. Let it be that comfy shirt, that cozy sweatshirt that just drapes you in the goodness and grace of God, so that you are ready to love others around you. Guys, don't just throw something on. Don't just wake up each day and go, hey, you know what? I'm going to act like something. I don't know what's coming out. I'll see what happens. Hey, you know what? I've got a little something. I'll just grab a little bit of grace. I got one grace to give to somebody. I'll put it on. Don't just carelessly go, man, I've got to look some way. We'll see what happens. I hope that you will look in your closet at the uniform that some may go, hey, that's boring. Hey, that doesn't look good. Hey, come on, there are other options than that. But hopefully you won't be distracted by the way the world tells you that you have to look, but that every day you'll wake up and you'll go, I know what I need to wear to glorify God. I need to know what my mind needs to be prepared for so that God will be glorified in and through my life. Because really, a uniform, if you play for a sports team, you wear that symbol, whatever your team's name is, you wear it with pride. If you are in the armed forces, if your parents are in the armed forces, they wear that uniform with pride to go, this is where I serve. This is not just something I have to wear. This isn't just something that's annoying the way I see it as a school uniform. This is what I get to represent my country, my school, my team. And humility is the way that we represent our God. And so I pray that you clothe yourselves, that you won't just go and do. The application is not just go do more things. It is a hard one because it's a hard thing to just put into practice, but it starts with being. So go and be. Wait, whoa, what do I do that? Sit with Philippians 2 over and over and over and say, Lord, will you help me see the truth that's here? Will you help me believe this? Will you help me live as Christ? We're going to try and do some fun stuff on Instagram if you're following us with that hashtag, go and be. If you're sitting there this week and you're spending time with Jesus, snap a photo. Doesn't have to be super artsy. It's not, you're not taking a selfie at Habitat for Humanity or feeding the homeless. Just sit with Jesus and show and encourage others. Man, I am choosing to walk with the Lord today. We'll do some fun stuff with that. Go be with your Savior and watch what God does through you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the model in Jesus Christ. I thank you that you're a God that we worship who not just calls us to a high bar and says, you better figure it out. You better hope you don't screw up today. That's not the faith that we have. We have a faith where you give us all we need in you, in your Spirit that dwells in us. You've done all the work for us. You just ask us to love you, to abide with you, to be with you. So Lord, will you give us the discipline to do that? May we do it not because we know that's the obedience that will lead us there. May we do it out of love and have that lead us to obedience. May we love you more, Father. God, I pray for people who are here who don't know you, whose closet is empty, who they're just grasping to try and put different things on, but they do not understand the goodness of grace that we are clothed in. I pray that you'll draw them to yourselves, yourself. I pray that they will ask somebody here, an adult, come up afterwards and come to know the goodness of God through the person of Jesus Christ, so that they can walk in freedom as well. Lord, we love you. Help us go and be, in Jesus' name. Amen. Love you guys. Have an awesome day. Happy spring breaking. We'll see you later.